In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, the guys are joined again by the sexy Mr. Hadrian to do another round of Let's Talk About Sets. This time around, the Cubs throw their towels on and discuss bathhouses. From their historical beginnings to their height in gay culture, the guys splash about with this steamy subject. So get your soak on as COL 411 starts now. It's April 16th, 2017. I'm Jeff.
Who's your bear? That's right. I am your bear.
I'm Damon.
I'm Chester.
This room is a pigsty. And you're a dirty pig boy.
Dough hut?
Oops.
And that makes me Gary.
Nobody with your bad self.
Welcome to Cubs Out Loud, the Bear Podcast, Adventure Time of Length, episode number 411. And we have a special guest with us. I gotta turn the right direction. Hadrian! Yay!
Hello.
Okay. Enough of that. I haven't done this in a couple of weeks, as you've probably noticed, because we've had all these other types of shows. Let's actually just get right and do this. I had two interviews and a boss kill.
Nice.
Actually, that in some sounds, sense, I actually had like
that kind of sounds pretty awkward. Two interviews and I killed the boss. Like,
good point. You do have a good point there. It's two interviews. I had two interviews, so hopefully soon here I'll have a job. I don't know if I actually will, but I'll have a job. Hopefully we'll have a job. But in the meantime, get your crit together. My raid team got down both Croesus and Tichondria's heroic in the meantime. So I'd like to say thanks to some Vantage Runes, some buffs that I gave everybody in my group. Although it was probably more of skill and everything, and that just kind of like helped a little bit. So, we got that. Also, last night I was doing what we refer to as the new raid, which is just kind of like a really casual raid that they just go, "Hey, new raid starting." So, whoever shows up, you know, and it's like anybody from the entire guild. So, any level of difficulty, it's meant to learn. Like, if you want to learn to heal, you can go to this. If we die, who cares? We're not trying to. We have no aspirations for anything.
So, it's only time and gold.
Yeah. So we've been working in the second raid, Trial of Valor. We got down Odin, we got down Gwarm, and then Helya, which is a pain in the ass boss, and I was healing it. And I'm like, oh my god, where's all this damage coming from? And panicking. But we got her down last night, so... It was fun.
Good for you.
So, which is a good hobby for me to do when during my downtime of searching for a job. Play WoW keeps me out of trouble. Damon, what's going on?
CMC, and bears.
Oh, so
and
it's
bears.
So it's.
Everybody dance now. Who's your bear?
Yeah.
That's right. I am your bear. Nice.
Essentially, I think since we last recorded, I had the Men's Chorus concerts, our one-hit wonders, which did pretty well. A lot of fun, good times. The audience really loved it, which is always good. We had a week off, and then we started rehearsals again. We have a new interim artistic director who is taking care of things this year. And we're starting our Pride concert, which is essentially African-American music composers, arrangers, and then celebrating, you know, hey, it's going to be in June and it's going to be Pride. So we're also to kick off to our Cincinnati Pride Week. So we're the first thing for the Cincinnati Pride Festival here in Cincinnati. And then last week or yesterday, I went to a bear potluck, which was a lot of fun. And yeah, so CMC, 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 and bears.
And what do those letters mean?
Cincinnati Men's Chorus.
Okay. There we go.
Yeah.
Sorry, triggers.
It's all good.
Triggers, yeah.
Chester.
Let's see. Drenched Fur was feels like it was yesterday. Probably more so for Gary than at me, but I came home from that, got all the photos done for that, got them uploaded to Gary. Just been taking time to decompress from that, and I've got Claw coming up in 2 weeks, but I leave in 4 days for it, so I got to get all that shit ready to go. Plus, I'm starting my move to Columbus, so I've got things waiting to be packed into my car to take with me next week. So, yeah, that's exciting.
In Columbus, Ohio, right?
Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
Not Columbus, Georgia.
Yeah. There's a bitter rivalry there, if you know, if nobody knows. It's a thing. At least for the really? Columbus, Georgia side. Yeah, we're like, we're Columbus too. It actually used to be a problem because, see, it was the codes were COL for Columbus, Ohio, and CBS or something like that for Columbus, Georgia. And luggage for Columbus, Ohio would always get routed to Columbus, Georgia for some reason. They actually had a special department that just handled it.
Oh, so, wow.
They eventually changed the airport code because of it.
Yeah.
Is that Columbus, why it's now Ohio CMH?
Correct. Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was, yeah.
Well, now it's CMH for Columbus, Ohio, and nobody understands why. They're all very confused.
Well, yeah, when I talk about cities that I'm traveling to, I always use their airport code. And whenever I talk to Dane and Joe, they're like, why do you always say CMH? We always say CBUS. I'm like, I don't know, because it's the airport code. That's what I'm saying.
Airport codes are three letters, not four, at least in the U.S.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Silly boys, they don't fly enough, apparently, or care. So
Make that's more it.
That could be true.
Maybe.
Gary, how about you?
Oh, hell's bells. So it's over. Drenched Fur 13 finished. I'm not going to say too much about it today, but we think it was a success overall. As usual, there are things that occur that you're not prepared for, hiccups and stuff, and we try to get through it. Yeah, so I think it's good. And then I took a break. Last weekend, I was on the road. I went to Maryland and stayed with AJ, one of my good friends who's on the committee. We took a day trip and went up to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and went to Bears, Bikers, and Mayhem, which is their seventh year that they've been doing that. I wanted to kind of get a scope of the land, and I have some friends that are part of an organization that are one of the sponsors of that event, and also actually kind of they help put on that event, and then they sponsor mine. So I've been asked for a couple years to go. So it was good to see a different event, how it, what the feel, the environment, all that kind of stuff is. And then I came back home and, you know, been doing work, and Drenched Fur hasn't ended. Only because today when we're recording, the feedback survey ends tonight. Then I'm going to do the report. We've got committee stuff going on. So, yeah. Everyone thinks it's over, and I'm like,
fill that out. Nope.
So, yeah, it's it just kind of keeps moving forward. Probably as of the end of this month, hopefully we'll kind of be done and close the chapter of this event. And then we probably are moving all our timelines up to begin next year. And we'll talk about that another time. But anyways.
Just don't conflict with Tidal Wave and your event will be just fine.
Yeah, well, I'm not in a situation like a certain very big, large event in the largest landmass state in the continental U.S. that might secede one day, has moved their event, understandably, to it's a short-term thing to get a long-term gain, but I think they've really kind of hoinked up a lot of people's personal schedules, including possibly their own attendance. So we'll see what happens.
You're being very elegant about spilling all this tea.
Right. Because for those of you that can't see, on my cam, Ed, both David and Hadrian are side by side, and they're both sipping tea from straws in their beverages while I'm talking.
That was delicious. I'm just saying.
Officially, everybody's seeing them top and bottom. So Damon's on top, Hadrian's on bottom.
Yeah.
So
on my screen, they were side
by side.
Both doing the exact same thing at the exact same time. That's why I cracked up. I was like, wow. So we try to not have those type of conflicts. One of the reasons I went to BBM is because we're always trying to make sure that we're not the same weekend, because some of our vendors and some of our attendees try to go to both, even though they're a week apart. So it's a challenge. But speaking of events, Hadrian, I believe you just wrapped up an event attendance in your next episodes recently.
I did. I went to Western Exposure in Palm Springs. It's held at the CCBC Resort, which is the Cathedral City Boys Club. And it was a naked rumpus. Everybody was having a good time. The weather was nice for the most part. It was it was warm, but it wasn't that overbearing Palm Springs heat, and there was a nice breeze. On Thursday night, there was an extremely nice breeze, in that it was these gusts of like 70 miles an hour and craziness and things going being blown into the pool. It was very, very windy. It was dangerously windy. It was so bad that no one was doing food delivery, which is always critical for me. But I had a great time. It was, several days of sun and fun and wonderful hot bears all over the place and good food all the way around Palm Springs and things to do and people to do. And I highly recommend it. If Cathedral Wave is held once every 6 months, the next one will be in, I believe it's October, the next one. They made the mistake of the last one in last fall happening the weekend after the election, which could have gone either way, but it was very depressing.
Oh.
But the next one will be in October. I think they're having it close to Halloween. I'm not really sure. But it'll be a fun event to go to again. So yeah, which is run by the wonderful West Cub 86 on Tumblr. West is a really nice guy. He's incredibly sexy, and he puts on a really good event.
It's on my radar. When I saw that West first was kind of working on it, and then Brian joined in, and you and Bailey and a whole bunch of guys out there on the West Coast have been going. But then when I saw the one at this time of year, I was like, damn it! I was like, it's like I just can't swing it for working on my event. But the fall one is intriguing. If it is around Halloween, I kind of already have Halloween plans, but we'll see what happens. I would love to come out and see you guys.
We'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
I have yet to do a West Coast run.
Ditto.
Texas is the most westernest most run. Everything I go to is on the east.
I've been to both East Coast and West Coast runs. East Coast runs are always that. They have that veneer of being something else. Like, this is for charity. Or, look at the good we do. And West Coast bear events are like, are you here to fuck? Or what? They're more to the point, and there's a greater focus and less underlying shame with what the event is for.
Ooh.
And that's cruel. I don't mean to be like, wait, I'm sorry, I didn't use the word shame, but you know, there feels the way East Coast ones feel like they have to have there has to be a storefront, and then there's the store back. And in the West Coast, they're like, you know, it says dick on the front sign.
Yeah. You know, we've got one of the people who does an East Coast run, like right next to you in the video.
Well, there we go. Yeah.
But I look at it this way. If Hadrian wants to put a big sign that says dick in front of him, I'm okay with that. So, you know, I would buy it. I might even, you know, put it like on layaway or a subscription membership.
Layaway?
You know.
So,
a payment plan of some sort. Make a deposit.
There we go.
What I do want to say
Good
is
Lord, it is way too early for this.
No, it's not. Anyways, Hadrian, if you're interested, you're touching on a topic that actually we sort of glossed over in our crossover podcast when At Drench for Underbears co-host Jason and David were there. David wrote an article a year ago in April, and I just actually read it yesterday. It's very interesting because he got a lot of shit for it, but he basically said sort of what you're talking about. To cut to the chase, it's the bear community was created not for charity, not for altruistic reasons. It was created so that men could get with men who liked each other. And his beef is that he thinks that we've kind of gotten lost, or that we do this weird glossing over and stuff. I understand that. I have a slightly different perspective, but then again, I'm not probably typical as a person, so I own my uniqueness in that. But
it comes down to, you know, not to sidebar it, but you know, the if you ever read The Bear Book by Leslie Wright, which is an amazing book, it says, you know, the bear things came from jerk-off clubs and that kind of stuff. So, and that's how the old folks did it, but the new folks get to figure out how they want to do it. And the bears who came about in the 90s felt like they needed to be more mainstreaming and a public face that was more acceptable. And neither one of them are wrong, but there's a happy middle ground somewhere too.
Right, and that's one of the things I think it would be interesting if we could get both you and David on to talk about, and then Chester, since you've been to Drench for, I think you might be able to talk a little bit about how our event on that future, this is all in my head, this future episode topic idea is, because notably I've been to other events and they have a different flavor. And I've talked a little bit about that, you know, like some runs are title runs and it's very much about the contest that's happening, and others are, and sometimes are very charity driven. Others are kind of pretty much an orgy, even though they don't say that.
What I don't understand is why can't you have a get together where people help out charity and also get dick?
I mean, that's pretty much every bear run.
Yeah,
that's kind of every bear run. Kind of. Not all.
Except for the fact that some, like Hadrian was saying, some are like charity, 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 dick sucking, dick sucking. Others are dick sucking, dick sucking, dick sucking, charity, charity. Like
anyway. And some just do away with the charity altogether.
Yeah, true.
There's a promoter, and there's a promoter making money, and that's where the cheddar is.
All right.
Anyways, so I want to take a commercial break here because I noticed one thing. Both Chester and I are wearing Comes Out Loud t-shirts.
Woo!
I got the Texas orange. What color did you get specifically? I don't think you got my... It got a Texas orange. Is it just orange?
I think it's the same color. Pretty sure this is the Texas orange.
We just have different lighting because they look different orange. But I got mine because I'm here in Texas. Now, Austin, Texas, and of course the colors of the Longhorns are... that burnt orange color. You can get one too at Sezzle.com/Cubs Out Loud, or you can just go to CubsOutLoud.com and click the COL merchandise page. And we got t-shirts there of the current logo. We got also the last logo and also our original logo, which was designed by Joss Lloyd, which Chester got to meet.
It was funny. He's a hairstylist, and I'm sitting in his chair, and he brought up Cubs Out Loud and was asking me how the podcast was going and if I enjoy being on it. And I'm like, yeah, it's fun. I like doing it. And he's like, I did the artwork for that. And I'm like, it's so weird how my worlds collide with people.
We got mugs, we got t-shirts, we got backpacks, we got a whole bunch of different shit there. I think we even have some like poker chips. Check that out and join us in having some COL swag. In fact, Gary, are you wearing a Cubs Out Loud hat?
No.
Okay, not today.
Sorry.
Just checking in. I can't see you. See the.
It's okay. Hat, today was a bit of a rush, so I am not wearing any swag of that sort today. I'm just, anyways.
So, Hadrian, have you bothered to check out the Cubs Out Loud store?
I will check out the Cubs Out Loud store.
Look at you.
In any case, I'm really wishing right now we sold the jockstrap because I would want Hadrian to model it. But anyways,
the only problem is that I don't have an option to have a jockstrap. We do have some underwear on there. It's not the best in all the world, but yeah, it's something. In any case, I think it's time. Where is it? I didn't hear. Where is it?
Wait,
there it
wait,
is.
Wait. Before we go, hold on. Yeah. Where do I find? Oh, COL merchandise. Is that the link in the site?
Yep.
It goes to a Zazzle page?
Yep.
Yes. Wow. Oh, not there.
Oh, boxers. Temporary tattoos. Poker chips?
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know, it's kind of like a trick card. Poke it instead, you know.
I like this. Yeah, I could go around events. I hear. Call me later.
You could just totally play that card, Hadrian. Like, if they don't know who you are already from other things,
right.
You could be like, hey, check this out. I'm a guest on here every now and then.
There's some really good stuff on here. There's like a key rack, a watch, playing cards, bumper sticker. There's all kinds of cool shit. I like it.
And Zazzle always tends to have some sort of discount code for stuff, so...
Okay.
Use that.
Yeah, pay attention because apparel was like 40% off 3 or 4 days ago, I think. It was kind of crazy.
Well.
So check it out.
Yeah, basically 365 days a year, there's a different code. It's kind of weird, but pretty cool if you're looking on a budget to get some swag.
And just because I have this base color that's on there for most of these things, you can't. There's different styles you can get under each of those. So. You don't have to have that specific look. That's just our show one. All right. So I think it's time. Is it time? It's time. Let's talk about sex. To talk about bathhouse experiences.
Oh, my.
Gary?
What? Oh. The way you said that, I thought the audience was going to be like, oh, there's a story. We kind of listed this quite some time ago, and one of our co-hosts, obviously not me, recently had broke their hymen, quote unquote, in their virgin area that they had never been to a bathhouse.
Oh, hi.
And that was an unexpected sound effect. Okay.
See, I actually thought you were talking about me.
We are talking about you.
Of course I'm talking about you.
Well, Damon's over there waving. I'm like, wait.
No, I was waving to the car driving by.
Okay. Okay. Sure.
I'm quite experienced with bathhouses.
Oh. Ah, now, see, that I did not know. I had a presumption that all four of us have possibly been to one in our lifetime, if not multiples, but... And Hadrian, I think you've said in past shows when you've been on with us.
I have never been to one.
Really?
I have never been to a bathhouse. I've been to a campground where I fucked a guy in the woods, but I've not been to a bathhouse.
Wow. So
I recuse myself from this conversation.
you don't have to recuse yourself.
Just for clarification, was this in the woods thing? Was it a area designated for sex to happen in?
I don't know if it's specifically. It's the campground thing. It was during Back to the Woods.
Okay.
Now, local Bear Grylls thing.
Since you're naive to what bathhouses are, tell us what you think a bathhouse is and how it functions. Tell us what your imaginings are.
Well, you know, I've seen like videos and like Bear Cub had a bathhouse scene. So it's kind of, you know, there's stuff where you can, you know, bathe, but I've also heard there's been slings and rooms where people can have their door open or closed. And fuck.
No, that's
I have the general idea of a bathhouse. I just never been there.
All right.
So
I will say this, for those that aren't aware, bathhouses in a way are mostly promoted as a business instead of being a sex palace. It's usually a exclusive male gendered gym membership kind of deal. So there's actually I think everyone I've ever been to technically had a gym. The state of the gym equipment may be very questionable. Back when I was much younger. Nowadays, I think they're all very up to date. So, and I know people that actually have memberships at bathhouses, and literally that's where they go to work out, and they also work out naked in other ways. So, but they usually have accommodations of some sort that you can rent by the
hour
shift time. Well, I was about to say an hour, but I don't really know if I know of any that do the hour thing. It's mostly like a block,
4 hour block.
Yeah, 12 hours, six, 4 hours, that kind
six
of stuff.
6 or 8 hours, depends on the size and ability. Some are shorter due to wanting turnover, as in there's...
Well, all bathhouses are ruled by their local laws, so they often have to do things to skirt those laws in various ways. I've heard tell that there's one in Atlanta that's in a suburb area that they had to, they actually operate as a bowling alley. And they, that's, that was the local law that actually worked for them so that they could open. The one in Orlando, Club Orlando, they operate as a gym. They actually have a gym membership and everything, and they just have very luxurious shower facilities. And, and you know, there's different ways they have to skirt the law in order to get a license, because there's no such thing as a bathhouse law or a bathhouse license unless you're like somewhere really progressive like San Francisco.
Like, for example, here in Cincinnati, we cannot have a bathhouse because there's a law prohibiting public bathing.
Yeah. And in the 80s, a lot of major metropolitan areas, if anyone's ever seen And the Band Played On, it kind of glorifies that with the fantastic acting of Phil Collins, where a lot of cities were discussing, you know, banning bathhouses altogether. And San Francisco was one of them, where Phil Collins played the owner of a chain of bathhouses, I believe. And there was, you know, it was a huge deal. Like, are they really responsible for the HIV epidemic, that kind of thing? And they did close, and in their place, just sex clubs opened up. You know, they just were sex clubs where you couldn't wash the goo off after you were done.
Nice way to put it.
It's funny that you brought that up, that they have to label themselves as gyms, because never having been in one, I only know my experience in bathhouses has always been what other people tell me about them. And they always say, oh yeah, it's just a gym. You have to buy a membership. So when I went into one for the very first time and I was walking through it with my friends, I'm like, oh, there really is a gym here. There's actually people working out, like legitimate treadmills. And there was a stair climber and weight benches. And I was like, oh, people actually do work out. And then somebody made the comment, they're like, well, yeah, it's really cheap too, because a membership to the bathhouse was, I don't know, $50 a month
or something like that.
Go there and work out, shower, and then get your rocks off. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what they're really for is the ladder.
Yeah.
They
know people. Go ahead.
They've kind of changed over the years. I mean, there was a heyday where they were actually sort of a community center for gay men to gather, to get together. And yes, there was absolutely sex going on, but it was also like, it was like an alternative bar that wasn't a bar.
Well, let's talk about the historics of this, though. Remember, bathhouses date back, you know, thousands of years, and you know, in Rome, that sort of thing. It was a place where the aquifer had a water dump, and people could go bathe, and actually, you know, because nobody had running water in their homes, and if they did, it wasn't for showering, that's for sure. So it became a community center where you could relax and shower and get yourself clean. And I don't know if other stuff happened in historical context. I don't think there's a lot of documentation on that. I'm sure the Dark Ages destroyed it if there was. But, and you know, throughout history, bathhouses have been around for a long time, and I'm sure that certainly events have occurred. And then at some point, there became, I don't know when it may have occurred, maybe in the mid 1900s, I'm not sure. There was this shift towards, you know, things that were more gay exclusive, and the playtime that occurred was more overt instead of you know, on the sly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the change in culture drove the change in the business model, like that concept of how things were handled. Because I think, you know, with Kellogg and those Puritan concepts coming into American culture, suddenly, you know, there was just, I don't know, people were very, you know, kind of like covering bodies, and everything became like behind closed doors. And I think that kind of drove, therefore, locations and behavior and that kind of stuff, which is unfortunate in the way that I think we at one time were way more, I don't know if I want to say open or accepting, but just, I don't think there was quite the hiding aspect in terms of behavior.
There's a movie that was on Netflix for a while, I don't know if it's anywhere, called Sex in the 70s. And it's a fantastic documentary about sexual centers in New York City and San Francisco and how sex was just happening everywhere, especially among gay men. And straight men would just grab a guy and fuck him in the alley and then go home. And there was a lot more openness about sex. And maybe there was this certain decadence in the gay community, especially in areas like Greenwich Village and the Castro, where it was just, you know, we don't have to worry about getting pregnant. Let's fuck. And this was, of course, before HIV. And yeah, there was, you know, I think that may be the cradle in which bathhouses were formed. And, you know, and then as HIV occurred, there was a killing off of a lot of bathhouses, and then they became more community centers for gay men, definitely. I know that, and if I go into one, that it's more than just get your ticket, go in there, go to your locker or go to your room and whatever and have sex. I think there's also, you see banners like get yourself tested, you know your status. There's a drag thing going on over here. There's community areas too where people can just hang out and watch TV instead of just having sex or just to relax between sessions. There's more to bathhouses nowadays than just the sex. And saying it's a community center is important.
Yeah, I think I might have seen that documentary film. One of my roommates for a long time, he used to live in New York City, and we kind of talked a little bit about behaviorally because he actually worked at one of them in New York City for a time. And it was very interesting. He said, you know, he wasn't there, I think, at the time, but the concept was like before HIV came onto the scene in the late 70s, early 80s, literally you would just walk down the street and see a guy and like – hook up, like go in an alley, go to a bathroom, like go back to your apartment or whatever. And like, you know, the concept of safe sex was not really a thing back then. In a way, it was odd because everything was kind of treatable. So syphilis, gonorrhea, you know, chlamydia, all of these things, like if someone had one and you got it, you just went to the doctor. So you got a cream, you got a shot, you got whatever, and then it kind of like took care of it. So there was really this I don't know how to explain it. Like, if there's a time in my life I wish I could go back and observe, like, without being seen, I think that would be, like, a very interesting perspective, maybe from, like, an anthropology kind of viewpoint about watching gay men or men have sex with men, whichever, in that time frame where it was just, like, anything goes, literally, anywhere, anytime, and then it all drastically shifted. And so, yeah. You know, now we have – go ahead, Chester.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's why things like flagging were so important. Yeah. And it wasn't the Hanke Code. When people talk about flagging in the 70s and 80s, it wasn't just limited to hankies sticking out of your back pocket. It was things like your earrings or the fact that you were wearing Buttonfly 501s with the bottom button intentionally undone and sticking out. It meant you were cruising.
Those subtle clues that helped make things go.
Even before the internet, we were finding creative ways not to communicate with each other before we used it.
Well, yeah, because I think it's funny how I hear in media more than anything. I don't certainly hear it amongst my non-gay male friends, but I hear about how gay men have like cut to the chase, like they've reduced or eradicated like all of the stuff before you actually meet and hook up with someone. And I'm like, yeah, because we pretty much just like, if that's all that we're focusing on, that's all we need to have a discussion about. And that's where, you know, we're saying flagging, it's like there doesn't need to be a discussion. You could just simply read the signs, quote unquote, and be like, ding, ding, ding. Okay, like I'm interested in that, and I already know what's exactly going to happen, so we don't need to exchange any contact information. We just need to have an encounter. And so we've modified it now. So what I find very interesting is now we have, you know, these things, you know, these portable computers that we call phones, and we, you know, load them with apps and different stuff. And so we live in a very different world now where we're trying to communicate, but still some of us are just focusing on the one thing, you know, what we want to do. Interesting. So that's a little bit about the history and the legacy. I'm kind of curious if anybody has heard any legends or myths about bathhouses over the years. I mean, most of us are sort of in the same age range, so I don't know if folks in their early 20s, like, you know, have heard, I don't know, horror stories or crazy things, or even if they maybe even know anything about bathhouses, much other than if they've experienced them.
Hmm. Well, you know, all the horror stories I've heard, you know, revolve around your standard stuff, you know, like glory holes. Somebody threw acid on someone's penis at a glory hole. That kind of bullshit. Wow. So there was a needle in the bed. There's, after having sex with someone, they wrote on their door, "Welcome to HIV," or something like, in lipstick, you know, that kind of classic. Wow. All that, or that urban myth crap. I mean, but I've never encountered anything like that. Bathhouses are like, kind of like the Senate. Everybody's just, you know, kind of roaming around like monks and disappearing into dark alleys. That was a horrible analogy.
That's a fair point.
I also vote to eliminate filibusters every now and then. Bathhouses are very complicated.
God.
I don't necessarily want to say that it's a myth, but my perception of what a bathhouse was or is at the time was very different than my actual experience. I always thought that they were seedy, they were dirty, they were dark and dingy. I should be wearing footwear because at any moment I'm going to step in and come. And I would just see, you know, sex everywhere I looked. And my experience with going to a bathhouse was very much not like that. Like, I walked in there and was like, this is actually pretty nice. I'm comfortable being here. The decor was updated. There was new carpet in the common area. There was new furniture in the common area. I felt welcomed like it was a hotel. Yeah, once I got beyond the common area, that feeling of it being a hotel kind of faded off, and that's where, you know, the sex was happening. But it wasn't seedy and dark and disgusting like I was led to believe that it was going to be.
Yeah.
I will say this. I will confess that I have actually had experiences in probably one of the worst, unkept, not clean, very scary bathhouses that ever existed. And it's the stuff that fuels nightmares. And it just goes to show how powerful dick can be when you're young and drunk. Because you meet up with someone at a bar and you really want to, like, continue this, but the bar is closing. So, it, you know, mm-hmm. the adage, like, you can take it anywhere, but you can't keep it here. Like, you just got to go. And so we went to the I think it was the only bathhouse in existence at that time in the city. I'm not going to say the city just to be polite. And it was the whole reason I was there the entire time. I was like, I can't believe I'm doing this, and I can't believe I'm in this space. And it was like, it was weird. It's the fuel of.
It wasn't
like,
your first time, was it?
Let me think on this. How long ago is this?
Thinking
like,
back to the 1930s.
No. I'm thinking it was like in 99 or 2000.
Oh, that wasn't very long ago.
Well, yeah, but this bathhouse.
15 years.
This bathhouse had been around for probably 20 or 30 years at that point.
Okay.
And wasn't really taken care of. So.
Ah.
Like the pool was in the basement and there was no water in it. And there were two or three showers near it, but they were all like recently added, like plastic modular kind of freestanding things. The beds, quote unquote, was like barrack style, and they were old World War like metal frame style, like you see in those awful videos of what happens in Russia. Orphanage stuff. Oh yeah. And it was like darkly lit everywhere you went, and pretty much everyone was there was very scary because they were all probably on cocaine or some other whatever was things at that time. Oh yeah, like. Now I'm having all those flashbacks. Great. So anyway, it was,
Hurt you now.
it was pretty wild to me. Like the whole time I like had to keep one eye out for watching what the hell was happening. Cause I just didn't know what was going on. It's the only one, like all the other ones, I agree with Chester, you know, they, are much more modern, updated, bright lighting in most of the space. Not that it needs to be bright lighting, but like I was in one in Texas that had like a really nice outdoor patio area full of, like, you know, plants and benches and all sorts of stuff. So I think each one has its own little flavor. If it's part of a national chain, they get to be a little formulaic as far as their footprint, like the way the building's set up and the spaces that are in them. But
Like, I have no doubt that that bathhouses vary from location to location. Like, I've heard that there is one in northeastern Ohio that's really bad, that I should probably not go in there.
Oh.
Which kind of sucks, because Claw is moving its hotel location to downtown, and they don't have a pool. So they are using this particular bathhouse.
Mm. Well, you've kind of given that. kind of given that. How many?
Well, I will say this:
there can't be that many bathhouses in northeastern Ohio.
Well, there are two, I think, which I've actually kind of been to both. But it's been a while. But as much as I know of, I haven't heard that per se. So I guess what I want to say to our audience is, be wary of when people give you their opinion on businesses and establishments. It's not that they're lying, but it's hard to say, especially if it's not their cup of tea. Then it's like you really have to take it with a big ass grain of salt. You know, I mean, it's like going to an event, whether it be a Bear Run or a leather event, or, you know, like we were just talking about Western Exposure 3. It's like, you know, if people aren't into certain things, they can absolutely badmouth it all they want. It doesn't mean that the event's bad. It just means it wasn't their thing, per se.
So that's exactly what I was going to say about this. Is if Claw decided that this bathhouse is where they're going to have the pool parties, and there are at least two pool parties that I want to go to, I'm going to go there for the pool party. Since I have access to the bathhouse, I may walk around and partake in those activities. But I'm going to leave it up to me to decide on if this place is too seedy for me or not.
Yeah.
And not go by what this other person has said about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, because when you say seedy, I immediately think of the place I was talking about that was a wild, never forgettable experience from a long time ago. Now I see them more as like modern day gyms that just happen to have a ton of like private rooms that are very small, you know, with very uncomfortable, less than the size of a single bed mattress thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, that being said, does anyone have any like tips or tricks, things to know about?
You can find tricks in there.
Well, I will.
No pun intended. I believe that the term was.
One of my biggest tips or tricks or what have you is, actually a big tip. You can say no. Like, you can always say no, and you can say no politely. Like,
that's important.
Yeah. Like, I'm a big fan of, you know, it's all fun and games, and yes, you know what's happening and you know what's going on, but guess what? If you aren't interested, if you don't want to go there, then please, by all means, say no. Do not do it because, oh, it's the experience and the environment kind of, you know, gives this whole air of like, yeah, free sex and whatever. Really, if you don't want to do it, just don't. And then on top of that, be polite, be cordial in regards to your saying no. I've done the polite, gentle nudge away or no thank you, and like a no, or like a calmly quiet no, to just sort of give the respect of the space and then give my direction. Now, if someone can't take a hint,
you can still be firm.
Yeah.
But there's never a reason to add insult to the rejection. I know a lot of people who feel like they have to have some kind of snide comment. No, oldie, or you know, drop a racial slur or whatever they want. You know, I don't like little dicks or whatever they want to say about someone. There is zero reason to do that in a bathhouse situation. Luckily, the only time I've ever seen that was in Atlanta. And some of the little Twinkie queens that would go there felt like they needed to have something to say if someone didn't meet the aesthetic they thought they needed to be surrounded with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it got really, really rude there for a little while. That's one of the horror stories I can share is that the clientele were the worst part of going to a bathhouse, which is not the reason you want to go to a bathhouse.
Yeah. Like, I've had the... There's a nice way to do it, and there's an improper way to do it. We know about the rooms and private rooms, and so you can... People have their doors open, and they pretty much... It's an open invitation, honestly. Yeah. Right. Like, so if you walk into said room and someone's not interested, they will let you know. And there's a good way to let you know, like no thank you, or a quick cover up, or I'm not interested, and just, you know, say that. What you don't want to do is what one guy did to me and literally tried to slam the door on my face. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, the way they were standing is they had, and they, I get it, I figured out it was probably the way they wanted to do it, was they had their foot near the door to where if they were laying on the bed, but they had their foot near the door to where if they weren't interested or wanted to close the door, they can close it easily. And yeah. So
it's bizarre. A good thing that you are bringing up this topic of etiquette, because that was one of my biggest fears about going to a bathhouse in general. And why I've put it off for so long is because I don't know the etiquette. Anytime somebody would mention going to a bathhouse, I would get anxiety because I'm like, that is something I've never experienced. I don't know how to behave in one. So when I was at North American Bear and some of my friends said that they were going, I asked them, can I tag along with you? And once I feel comfortable, you know, can you show me around and explain what's going on? Once I feel comfortable, I'll go off on my own. And they were like, yeah, sure. Come on, let's do that. So I'm glad that they did, and that was one of my big problems, is how do I go here in this place and behave, and how do I approach somebody? What happens if somebody wants to approach me? And they were like, just kindly tell them no. Yeah. And that's what happened with one person. I was in the steam room. He came up to me. He started grabbing at my dick. I looked at him. I'm not attracted to him, so I just gently pushed his hand away. He understood that meant I'm not interested, and he kind of like did a little nod towards me and then turned around and walked off.
Yeah. And disappointing people is part of the game. That's something I've maintained for years, that cruising is a lost art on, you know, generations. And I was very lucky to grow up in a city where cruising was just so prevalent, and the older generation was willing to show me how it was done, you know, unspokenly. But a lot of people just don't know how to cruise, and that etiquette applies in full force at a bathhouse. The way you wander, the way you look at someone, the way they don't look at you, is a lot of hints into who's interested and who's not. Yep. You know, that, you know, there's eye contact, and then there's eye contact.
Yep.
So there's different subtleties, just like the hanky code and everything else. That was taking it from those subtleties into something that was more, you know, labels. But bathhouses, some of those people go there don't want labels. They're not gay. They're not bi. They had 5 minutes, you know, they had an hour they could stop in from work before they go home to the wife and kids, kind of thing. That's something else about that space, is that a lot of people who won't use apps will go to a bathhouse.
Yep.
They will cruise parks. They will do this sort of thing because it is a truly anonymous environment. All you've got is a face and a towel.
Yep. Well, it's meant to be an anonymous environment. I think today makes it more difficult with technology. I haven't been, I'll be honest, I haven't been to one in a couple of years, but I would not be surprised now if there are signs and postings about no photography, like using your phone, camera type stuff and all that kind of thing. Yeah. Just because that's the part I think people don't understand about play spaces, whether it's a bathhouse or at a business, like, I don't know, like a gay owned campground, let's say, or like at an event, like a leather runner, a bear runner or whatever. People seem to not understand, like, play spaces are just meant for the activity, not to be broadcasted, you know.
Look with your eyes, not with your phone.
Yep.
Yeah.
I found that rather out at the one bathhouse that I had visited, that there were people walking around with their cell phones. I thought that was very strange. Yeah. And lack of the business being on top of that.
Yeah. I think for some, I know when I've gotten, like, especially recently, I've gone to a bathhouse and I've had my phone, but I usually use it in my room. I don't really walk around with it, but I would use it in my room. And, you know, you're on certain sites, and you can talk to people and be like, hey, I know, you know where I am, or I know where I'm going to be for the next 6-8 hours, depending. So if you're interested, hey, why don't you come over or come to the, you know, kind of thing. It's sort of a ass backwards way of cruising, in a sense, you know, bringing someone in, coming in,
yeah,
to, as opposed to, but it's good sometimes and most times not. It's kind of defeats the purpose, you know. In some ways, it's like, oh, yeah, you can have, you kind of can cater someone in, or you can enjoy the smorgasbord around you. So it's that sort of, yeah.
That's typically the way I play the game when I go into a bathhouse, is I'm like, let me enjoy what's here. Yeah, there's not going to be this perfect, hot, chubby daddy bear. But there's this one guy who's super cute, and he's a little more muscular than I like, but he's got a really nice fat dick and big balls, and I've never actually played with this little skinny guy like that before, so let me get on that guy. It's a way to experience new things as well. You're already naked, you're already there. I don't have to get to know you and worry about your life's problems. Your dick's out, and I'm here, and you're showing interest in me. So that's one thing. That's one thing I like about the bathhouse, is that you can do explore new things without all the preamble.
Right. Yeah.
I will say that going to a bathhouse was a very eye-opening experience for me, and I'm going to go for a second time just to make sure, because when I did go to the first one, I was in a very different time of my life.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't have, while I encountered lots of sex there, it wasn't enjoyable sex. It wasn't bad. Uh-huh. Like, there wasn't anything wrong with it. It was just, I didn't feel a connection with people, and it felt like it was way more work and effort being put in by me than what it was worth.
Mm.
And again, I want to state that I was in a very different time in my life when I had gone. Mm-hmm. So I'm in a different place now. So when I go back, or I plan on going back to another bathhouse, just to make sure that, you know, I'm doing it for science.
You're testing out a hypothesis.
Exactly.
Right.
And over again.
No, I'm being serious, Gary, that I don't know if my emotional state had something to do with my experience, or if this is really just how I am.
And I agree with that. I think that's something to think about when you... Because, again, these are fleeting moments at best. These are meant to, like Hadrian was saying, like, you know what's going to happen. Like, we're going to get together, and then boom, and then we go our separate ways. This is not a, like, long-term connection with maybe someone you might spend the rest of your life with. I mean, it's possible. I knew a guy who met his partner, long-term partner, at a bathhouse. But sometimes it's just meant to be a fun experience and moment for you to have, and then you move on. That will be my next sort of tip, is enjoy yourself, have fun. If something odd happens, don't let it break your spirit. This is a fun place.
Yeah.
And like, you're going to have a bad experience. Like, let's just put it out there. That's a tip. Like, you are going to have a bad experience. You're going to meet somebody that you're not really interested in, and things start going odd, or something doesn't work or whatever. So yeah, you have the bad experience. Well, okay. Realize you've got a little bit more time, depending on how many hours you have. You've got 4 hours, 6 hours to kind of figure things out and find more fun. Pace yourself is my other one.
I always tell people, you don't have to get off with the first guy you play with. That's something important. You know, you paid for 12 hours or whatever you did, or you have so much time. You know, you can maximize it, and you don't have to get off with every single person. You can just have a little play time, have a little taste, and move on. And I always remind people, too, it's always okay to remove your consent. Like, there's a lot of times where I'm like, hey, you're kind of hot. Let's get together. We start playing, and then he leans in, and I'm like, your breath is really gross, so I'm going to leave. And I'm always like... I always like to say thank you and give them the pat and hide my stuff and move on. And, you know, I've never had anyone call me on. I mean, they might want to try again later. And I'd be like, have you found the vat of Listerine in the front lobby? Because
I've dealt with that too. I've done the glory hole experience at a bathhouse, and There was one person whose penis was not so fresh. And I went on it, and I immediately was like, nope, can't do this. And sort of, the place had locked doors, so I unlocked the door and stepped out. You know, I tapped the thing and stepped away because I was like, yeah, I'm not, sorry, can't do it.
Yeah, and that's something a bathhouse is supposed to help remove, too. In addition to the social structures you're stripping away because you're going around naked, you're removing the fashion issues, you're removing... hygiene issues, apparently, being at a bathhouse, because people are allowed to bathe. Every bathhouse I've ever been to has this little thing of mouthwash. There's supposed to be all these facilities that are supposed to strip away all these social issues, and all you have is your skin, and that's it, and your face, and that's the only things and your goods to show off to the world. You know, that's one thing, great thing about a bathhouse, is that it takes away all the misperceptions that you'll get just because someone wore bell bottoms in 2017.
Stay clean.
Yes.
We're at a bathhouse.
If you go to a bathhouse, bathe thoroughly. Yeah.
Please be clean. All right. You're in a bathhouse.
In all ways, too. You know, get a
they
shower.
They have showers. Use them.
I think we've just about covered it. So let's start wrapping up the show. I think we can cool down a bit. So let's go into this. So thank to Dozer. Say hello to Pup Tibbers.
Woohoo. I know Tibbers. That's a good picture.
Yeah.
Not surprised at all.
I really liked it. Mr. Yeah. North American Bear Cub 2017. In his pup form.
I'm not curious about seeing. Now I want to know what his singlet looks like. I want to know what the I want to know what the mask looks like, because that's me being puppy. Anyway. It's a good picture.
Mm-hmm.
A good picture.
Next.
All right.
So, speaking of puppies, this is, I think, Beef Burrito showing off his pup. Yeah, Beef Burrito, excuse me. Showing off his pup. It's just a bunch of cute pictures of a cute little couple, or friends, or whatever their relationship status is.
Nice.
It's really cute.
I like the wing. That's a bird. Is that a pigeon? What is on his arm? I'm not making fun of his tattoo. I'm very interested in what it is, and it's some kind of like an owl, maybe.
I
can't tell
sure.
from the angle.
Yeah,
it's very pretty.
It's an owl.
I'm looking forward to that being colored in. It's very nice.
Yeah. But yeah, so cute couple. They're fun. My pup. Oh gosh, I can't say that name. Kukin Koinu looks like. So yeah. So another pup picture.
He's a very handsome guy.
Yeah.
Both of them are, actually.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Chester.
So mine is of our friend Dane, who I roomed with at Drenched Fur. And I don't know where I was, but I was. Dane and I were in our room in the hotel, and he had his lighting equipment set up because he was taking pictures for a friend of ours. And I left to go do something, and about 20 minutes later, I get a notification on my phone that Pup Dozer has posted some pictures. I open them up and I'm like, huh, that space looks really familiar. Oh my god, that's my hotel room! But nice. Anyway. Yeah, it's pictures of Dane undressing, putting his pup mask on, taking some selfies. having some fun with himself. Good times. Very sorry, nice. I missed it. And I yelled at him for it. I'm like, you could have waited till I got back in the room. He's like, but I wanted to do it right then.
That Stozer.
Yeah. Anyways.
So scary.
I titled mine National Geographic Cover Model? Question mark. The picture doesn't actually have a title or a caption. But this is a newer Tumblr account, to my knowledge, that got started. And I'm just really intrigued with this guy. He describes himself as just a 50-something bear who enjoys photography and showing off. And so he's one of those accounts where mostly, if not all of the pictures are just of him. But he does a lot of posed stuff, and he's got an amazing body. But notably, his face is never seen in any of them. So for this one, he's sitting in a chair, and he has a National Geographic one of the infamous the photo issue covers. He has the National Geographic over his face, like he's intently reading it, which actually from the looks of it, it's too close to his face, but yeah. it's an interesting juxtaposition, because if he had just moved the cover a little bit to the side, just like maybe an inch or whatever, then the image of the face on the front of the cover would be exactly over top of his face. It's pretty close. It's actually kind of creative in a way. So Monkey Maven is the Tumblr account, and I just really kind of like what he's been doing of late, so I'm very intrigued by the mystery of like who he is. So maybe we'll get to meet him one day. So
maybe.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Huh.
Hadrian, did you have anything you wanted to link on Tumblr at all?
Not on Tumblr. Well, yeah, I guess Can I plug something shamelessly?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Let me type it in. So, Tumblr.com. This is Cena Grace. He is a bear admirer. He lives in L.A. He is a comic book artist. He's currently writing Iceman for Marvel, which is their first LGBT-centric gay character mainstream comic, I think. Because he's recently, his time-traveled younger self is in the future and found out he's gay.
Yeah.
It's really complicated shit. It's Marvel. It
Especially but considering... He said that... Anyways.
Go ahead.
Considering that at a time, I believe Bobby and Kitty were a thing.
Yes, they were.
Like the current time, not the past
ones.
Yes.
Yeah. There's it's complicated, and essentially long story short, too late. Younger Bobby is gay, and instead of being a mutant and gay, he decided to just be a mutant. So we put that to the forefront, and everything he's done there, this is how they're explaining it, has been focusing on being a mutant, and he put everything about being gay on the back burner and kept it in the closet forever. So the fact that his younger self has come back and has been revealed as being gay opens this whole can of worms.
It's a complicated thing. It shows the flexibility of sexuality if they approach it with that. I think it's important. But Cena is a great guy. He's done that. He's done Burn the Orphanage. He's drawn for Little Depressed Boy. He used to be an editor for Robert Kirkman on The Walking Dead. He's a very talented man in all realms of comics, and he's been doing a web series about himself because he does these slice of life comics, like the 9 weirdest dicks I've ever sucked and that kind of stuff. But he did this web series and called Self Obsessed, which is based on his own comic about his life and his kind of coming of age or coming of professional age story, where he decided to break away from 9-to-5 comic book jobs to really go out and start doing his own creative work. And first season, fantastic stuff. And in the second season, which is near and dear to me, Bailey Godfrey, my loving boyfriend, is in it. He got his first acting gig as the love interest of Cena Grace. So and I even make a little bitty tiny cameo in that when Cena's character finds out that Bailey's character has a partner, they like flash to the bedstand where there's like, well, didn't you notice the pictures of my boyfriend on the bedstand? And there's me. But yeah, Cena is great. He's hilarious. It's a little 5-minute, 5-10-minute show, and there's 2 seasons of it. I think it's about 5 episodes a piece. You spend an hour watching him. It's wonderful stuff, and definitely check out Cena's work. He is a he is just so talented, and I really enjoy his company a great deal. And this weekend, he's at Queers in Comics in San Francisco. So, yeah, check him out.
Excellent. Hey, guess what, folks? Cool. That's the end of the show.
Oh. Yay.
Playways, contact us, pop over to our website, comesoutloud.com, where we have that link to the COL merchandise page on Zazzle. You can give us a call at 361-265-8255. We do have a voicemail, which we'll play in the future. And you can follow us on Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, Google+, YouTube, and the appropriate, with Cubs Out Loud in the appropriate part of the URL. Please pop over to bearunderground.net, the official Bear website of Cubs Out Loud, and join the Cubs Out Loud entourage group there and say hi. You can find us, rate us on iTunes. The more you rate us, the more people will find us. You can subscribe to us through Google Play Podcasts. Listen to us on Stitcher Radio, where you can give us a thumbs up. You can find me anywhere on the internet. It's Boxset, Box, Puppy Box, Cub Box, something or other.
I'm TheaterCub79 on Bear Underground, Tumblr, HeffyNet, Growler, and Facebook. Or you can find me as Pup Umbra, or Pup _ Umbra, various kinky websites.
You can find me on Tumblr or Twitter under the name The Pup Up There, or various bear dating sites across the net under the name Pup Shutter or Cupcake76.
And you can pretty much find me anywhere on the web as GareBear73. Hadrian?
And you can find me at thehadrianshow.com.
Excellent. Now with that, say goodnight, everybody!
Good night, everybody!
Bye.
We're terrible at time limits.
We're pretty good.
Pretty bad. I'm sorry I ate into our beginning time.
That's all right.
It's okay.
We'll survive. And for those of you listening to the post show, you need to check out Chester and Men of the Den. He did a special episode, so check that out.
Nice.
I noticed that they tweeted it on Twitter, and I'm like, what? And I watched it this morning.
Nice.
It's been show topic I've been wanting to do anyway.
Oh, that's good.
So, the two guys that normally do Wednesday, they're from the UK and they've been really busy. So, I'm like, hey, is it okay if I, do this? Actually, I did it and then asked them, by the way, I did this. Would you guys want to air it?
They're like, sure.
So yeah, they were like, yeah, we'll air this, and they threw it up there, and that was really nice of them.
Did you add the effects, or did they do that?
No, they did that.
Okay.
I just did the video, and then I sent it over to Derek. I don't know who added the effects. I don't know if it was Derek or not, but Derek was the one I was talking to about it.
Okay, cool.
All right.
And that's post show.